This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What does it take to speak truth to power? That's the question posed in an upcoming workshop about writing op-eds and letters to the editor. Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library writer-in-residence Danny McLean spoke to me earlier about it. Here is our recorded interview. Joining us now is Danny McLean, a journalist, an author, and the writer-in-residence at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library. Danny, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
It's our pleasure to have you back on. I believe we were last talking about the book that you had out a year or so ago, We Live for the We, The Political Power of Black Motherhood. And then you've been serving as writer-in-residence at the library. That was originally for 2020. It's well into 2021. We're on the back half of this year. You're still in that position. Do you like it that much, or was this pandemic-related?
Right. Well, I do really enjoy it, and it's an honor to be the writer-in-residence for 2 years in a row. I was selected initially for 2020, and just a couple of months into my residency, we were hit with this pandemic, and all of the great programming that we had planned for the branches needed to move online. And I think, I like to think that the library was pleased with the way that I was able to make that transition to offering programming online, and just decided to stick with that for 2021. So it's been a great honor. And yes, the residency will wind down at the end of this year.
So Danny, as the writer in residence at the library, and through a weird time where a lot of the programming had to move online and libraries themselves had to reinvent themselves along with the people who were to be associated with them during that year, what exactly did you do? Who did you connect with, and what did people learn about writing from you over this period?
It's been exciting. So I do a few things as the writer in residence. I host monthly office hours, which are an opportunity for people, library patrons, to come and meet. It can happen a couple of different ways, one-on-one with me to talk through a writing question or, you know, something that they are working on, that they'd like some support with. What's typically happened, because we've been doing it through Zoom, is that these are group events, office hours. And so it's just kind of a writing workshop. People come in with their questions. Sometimes they are working on a project. Sometimes they just want to talk about what it's like to be, they want to ask me what it's like to be a professional writer. So office hours has been one way to connect with people. I do workshops, and I'm offering the same workshops this year that I offered last year. So there's one about writing op-eds and opinion pieces that's coming up very soon in September. There's another one I do that's reporting 101 that I offered in the spring. Last December, I offered a workshop on publishing, different ways to get your work published, whether you want to self-publish or work with a publishing company. And that we'll have that again at the end of this year. And then I also offer a workshop called The Pros of Parenting, which we do right around Mother's Day, which is about writing about parenting, the experience of, how we interact with the young people in our lives and how we reflect on that. So those are just a couple of the ways that folks can connect with me. And it's been a great way to meet Cincinnatians and people who are just, working on these great projects, often in isolation, often independently. And it's a way for us to connect and support one another.
We're talking with Danny McLean, a journalist and author and the writer in residence at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library. Let's talk about this workshop you have coming up on Saturday, September 11th. It's a virtual workshop, I imagine, and it's about writing op-eds and letters to the editor. What does it take to speak truth to power? We've got details at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Danny, when we think about op-eds and letters to the editor, that suggests a newspaper, and while newspapers themselves will struggle with getting people to read the content they're producing, is there more of a challenge now with the way we consume newspaper content as it relates to op-eds and letters to the editor in reaching the intended audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think we used to think about the op-ed as something that showed up, on these particular pages within the newspaper. But the kind of writing that I'm talking about, which is really opinion-based, persuasive writing, is all over the internet, right? I mean, that kind of writing can be found you know, on these online news outlets where that are really hungry. Often editors there are hungry for perspectives. And so, and similarly, what, you know, I worked in newspapers for a while, and what we used to think of as the types of perspectives shared through letters to the editor really are like tweets now, right? It's not really a conversation that you have to have directly to the editor of, or the editors of a publication. You can, you know, you can at the New York Times or at the Inquirer and share your perspective on the way that they've covered an issue with all of your followers. So I really try to make the workshop relevant to folks who are not just newspaper readers, but who are consuming news and information in a lot of different ways. And really the focus is on persuasive writing and really research, because I think that's what makes for a strong opinion piece. It's not enough just to say what you think about some news event that's happened, but being able to back it up and being able to share, you know, data that supports your argument is really important. So we talk a lot about research. And then, of course, we talk about style and voice and how the writing is going to really be the thing that makes your perspective go far.
Well, as far as it relates to getting those messages out on Twitter, do you find that we might have internal biases because of the echo chambers that we might choose to follow, and also the social media platforms themselves? Once you start to interact with a certain type of content, it might start to decide for you what content you're seeing. So is that a challenge to consider, too, as you teach how to construct these types of arguments?
That's so important. I mean, yeah, it's all the algorithms, right? So it's not, we often don't have any control over who's actually going to see what we post. That's a great point. And, you know, I personally am not, I think a lot of journalists in the past 10 years have had to figure out how to go above and beyond what we were trained to do as journalists, and also cultivate followings and really figure out how to use these social media platforms to build audience and to connect with readers. And I'm going to be honest, that's not a place where I've put a ton of my focus. What I love to do is write magazine articles. I wrote a book and I enjoyed that process and plan to write more. And so I am not the expert on social media and how to really, you know, grow a following or be most effective in using those platforms. At the same time, I interact with, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook enough that I can give some tips. And I think what's important to be real about is that not everyone is on those platforms. And so while you might feel like you're reaching, you know, a ton of people by posting a tweet, if you are, for example, weighing in on a Cincinnati school board decision, is it going to be more effective to try to write a letter to the Inquirer, or to, you know, somehow get your voice on BXU, or to tweet out to this kind of broad, you know, nebulous audience? And so it's about who are you trying to reach, and then choosing the outlet and the channel that's going to reach that particular audience.
Well, let's talk about some of your strategies in the craft rather than some of the technical challenges that we all face in getting our content out there to audiences. Yeah. When we think about writing persuasively, there of course are strategies to deploy, but specifically for op-eds, which might have a limited word count, or a letter to the editor, which might have an even smaller word count available to the writers. What's your chief piece of advice?
So you want to succinctly summarize, you know, the news event that you're responding to. So I'm answering your question, thinking about an op-ed that would be someone responding to a news event and kind of framing an issue that's been covered by a reporter, right? So you want to succinctly summarize the news event that you're responding to, and then you want to very quickly state your argument. Like I said, evidence is key. I think that's where we see a lot of failed. And really, the internet has contributed to this. Everyone has an opinion and everyone has a way to share that opinion with the world, even if it's not backed up appropriately. And so one of the things we're going to talk a lot about in this workshop is how to best support your argument and how to find those two or three pieces of evidence that can support you with that. So research, I think a lot of people, you know, hopefully one thing I've brought to this writer in residence role is it's not just about being a writer. I am a writer, but first and foremost, I think of myself as a researcher and an interviewer, because it's all about content. It's all about having something to write about, right? And so we're gonna spend some time talking about how we support our arguments And then, like I said, really the style, the tone, the voice, how do you put what you have to say in a distinctive way so that it really stands out from the crowd?
I imagine there might be people who think, I might have something to say, but, you know, I don't have a master's degree in this type of policy discussion, or I'm not a writer. Do you talk to people who feel like they might want to say something but are hesitant to assume a platform based on what they might view as personal deficiencies or inadequacies?
I mean, that's interesting. I think in that way, that's one of the ways that the internet has been a really positive force, because it's democratized our sense of who has something valuable to say. And anybody who would say, you know, I'm not an expert, I don't have a master's degree. I mean, you know, I think the pandemic is a great example. Like, we are all experiencing this, you know, this moment, and you don't have to have a master's or an MD. You don't have to be an immunologist. You don't have to, you know, have these kind of, this expertise to be able to share what your experience of this moment has been. Similarly, when we think about electoral politics, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a pollster. You don't have to be, you know, someone working on a campaign to have an opinion on, you know, how something related to what city council is up to. So I think I really encourage people to believe in the importance of their own experience, but then to back up what they want to share about their personal experience with data and with research.
And that virtual workshop, What Does It Take to Speak Truth to Power? Writing op-eds and letters to the editor with writer-in-residence Danny McLean, of course, of the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Library, is Saturday, September 11. We've got a link at wvxu.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. In our last 30 seconds together, Danny, what's next for you after this? Do you have another book or some magazine articles we should be looking for?
You know, I'm working on a long-term project that I can't say too much about. I'm trying to be secretive, but I appreciate the question, because I do feel like I've been very quiet this year. I'm not publishing newspaper or magazine articles as frequently as I have been, but it's because I'm working on a long project. So keep an eye out in 2022.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about it.
Of course.
Danny McLean, thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at wvxu.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.